praise, worthy of our devotion, worthy of us following and honoring him. Let's go to the Lord. Father, you are indeed worthy. And Father, you are more than we possibly could imagine. There is so much that you have done for us. There's so much that you will do for us. Not just here, but throughout eternity. And Father, there is no one that is worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise, worthy of us seeking after but you. You are worthy. No one else is worthy. You are worthy. And so, Father, as we continue on in our worship of you, we pray that you will move even more than you already have. Father, that you'll speak to us more than you already have. That you will change us more than you already have. Father, that you will do more. More in our time together, more as we go throughout the week. Father, just draw us closer to you so that we may know you better and that we can shine your light out into the dark world to those that are hurting, those that are in the darkness. Father, thank you for dispelling our darkness. Help us to allow your light. Have you ever heard the saying, you should dance with the one who brought you? Yeah, a lot of you have heard that saying. Well, what that means is that you should keep doing the things that got you where you are. In other words, you know, keep doing what works. Don't give up the tried and true. Don't give up what is proven to be effective. There was a king by the name of Uzziah, and that was what he was doing. He was dancing with the one who brought him. He the one who blessed him, the one who had brought him and his nation to be prosperous. And of course, the one that he was dancing with is the Lord. The Lord's the one that brought him there. And he didn't leave him behind. For much of his life, he not only sought the Lord, but he celebrated the Lord. That is, until. You ever thought about the word until? You know, when you see the word until, you know something has changed. The person in the story has been living a certain way, or they've been dealing with things in a certain manner until. Until it changes. So when you read the word until, you know something has shifted or a new direction has been taken. And so Uzziah celebrated the Lord until things changed, until pride entered his heart and he left the one behind that had given him so much. He began to celebrate the focus of his pride. Now, what is the focus of pride every time? Self. That's right. So what did he start doing? He started celebrating his greatness and his accomplishments. And in so doing, he went down a road that led him into disaster. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 26, and we're going to be asking the question this morning, who are you celebrating? Who are you celebrating? When we gather here together like we did this like we are this morning, who are you celebrating? When you're going throughout the life during your week, you're going to work or play or whatever you're doing, who are you celebrating? Are you celebrating the Lord who's brought you so far? Or are you celebrating yourself? It's a question for the day. So let's read chapter 26 of Chronicles. And I know it's not necessarily a short chapter, but we need to read it to get the whole picture of what's going on in Uzziah's life. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elah and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Well, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who has instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jebna, and Ashdod, and then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbaal and against the Midianites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plains. When you read that somebody has much livestock, that means they were rich. Just FYI, that's the way they measured wealth a lot of times. And he had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jehiel, the secretary, and Messiah, the officer under the direction of Hananiah, who was the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uriah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until that before you see all the things God had done for him. And it says he was greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Uzziah had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priest in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had inflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belonged to the kings, for the people said he had leprosy. And Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. In the first half of the chapter, we find Uzziah celebrating the Lord. He was 16 when he came to the throne. At that age, he was not equipped to lead a nation. There was much he didn't know. There was much more he didn't understand. There were situations and challenges he didn't know how to deal with. He was at a loss how to start even to govern his people. Rather than going his own way, what did he do? In verse 5, it says what? That he sought the Lord, right? It says he sought the Lord during the day of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. So he sought the Lord. And when it says he sought the Lord, what does it mean that he sought the Lord? What that means is he went to him in prayer for advice. He looked to him for guidance in his word. He asked for provision and wisdom, and he relied on his protection as he marched out to his enemies to face them on the battlefield. So he turned his heart to the Lord, trusting him to lead him in every step. Because he's like, "I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. Show me what I need to do." And God did. He stayed connected with him through worship and prayer and the word. So he knew which roads God had opened up before him, which ones would lead to the blessings and which roads to avoid that would lead to disaster and heartache. But Uzziah was not the only one who received the Lord's blessing because he sought the Lord. The entire nation of Judah was experiencing a time of prosperity and peace because they were following the king's example. They too were seeking the Lord. Because Uzziah walked in this close relationship with God each day, he was blessed with success wherever he went. Now, we have to define that word success, Because every time we talk about success and prosperity, that doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to be rich and that we're going to have everything we want and everything we do is going to turn to gold. You know, that's not what that promise is. That means God was with him and he gave him success in what the Lord led him to do. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about success. But he was successful in that way, but God also blessed him materially. And when God moved, he sought the Lord and asked God to lead him. And when God moved, Uzziah didn't allow that to go unnoticed. He did not let the praise that was due the Lord go unvoiced. He acknowledged it. He said, he acknowledged what he had done, the blessings that he bestowed. In other words, he celebrated the Lord. Now, so often we think about seeking the Lord, we think about asking for things. You know, we're askers. That's what we are. That's who we are. Come to God, God, give me this. God, give me that. And that's not bad. He tells us, come to me. Come to me. Make your requests. It's okay. Ask. I can always say no. That's the thing, you know. Well, you can ask, but you may get a no. But, you know, that's the way it is. But we go to him and we ask him, and that's a good thing. But just seeking the blessings is not all there is to seeking the Lord. It's also celebrating the Lord, praising him. That's as much of seeking the Lord as making requests, because praise is the natural outgrowth of our walk with him. The closer we walk with him, the more we praise him, because the more we realize all we have, all we've experienced, all we've been able to accomplish, every blessing, every good and perfect gift that's come our way is because the Lord decided to give them to us. And that's the only reason we have them. You realize that? That's the only reason we have what we've got is because God decided to give it to us. Yes, we work. We go to work. We get a paycheck, right? We have money. We have clothes. We work. We buy things. But who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to make the money? Who gave you this and who gave you that? Well, God does that. So when God moved, Uzziah celebrated. When he went out to war and he came back victorious, when he finished building up Jerusalem and the Ammonites came to give him tribute, he was quick to point to God. To point to him and say, look at what God did. It was all him. Look at what he's given us. Don't we have a great God? Isn't he good to us? So Uzziah, in this first half of this chapter, he is living out the truth of Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Most of us know that verse. Proverbs 3, we usually go 5 through 5 and 6, but I like 7 as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I learned, acknowledge him. Some of the new translations say submit to him, which I like as well. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That sums up the first half of this chapter. That's what Uzziah was doing. That's what it meant when he said he sought the Lord. God was moving there. And he walked humbly with his God. And we know, what does God give to the humble? He gives grace to the humble. And so he poured out his grace upon Uzziah, upon his people, gave them blessing upon blessing. And if we seek the Lord, not just asking, but also celebrating, as we're trusting him to guide us step by step, just like Uriah did in the first part of this chapter, we too will receive God's blessing. We too will receive his grace. It'll all be poured out upon us. The question is simply this. Are we seeking? And are we trusting? And not just are we seeking, are we trusting, but are we celebrating our God? Life was good in Judah. The economy was robust, the nation's enemies were subdued, and they were at peace. God had indeed brought them very far. We see just some of the things that we read here in this chapter, just some of the things that God allowed the nation and the king to experience and accomplish. This is just a partial list. So for many years, he continued to seek and to celebrate the Lord, all that he had done, giving him praise that was due him. And then we come to verse 15. In verse 15, it says this: His fame spread far and wide, for he's greatly helped until. There's that dreaded word, until. This is the verse where Uzziah's whole story turns upon. God blessed them until. God's hand moved on their behalf until. Till something changed. And what changed? That's the question. What changed? Did God just decide, you know what? You've got enough blessings. You know, I've given you enough stuff. I'm done. You're not getting anything else from me. No, God just loves to bless his people. And he never runs out of blessings. He never gets tired of pouring out his grace upon us. Not at all. Did God just see, okay, Uzziah, you are now powerful. You are now well established in your kingdom. You are, have a place on the world stage. You can handle it on your own. I'm going to just turn it over to you and I'm out. No, God doesn't do that, does he? We never get to the point where we outgrow the need for God's help. Now, did Uzziah's circumstances change? Well, yes. It said he became powerful. His circumstances did change, but they didn't change overnight. It wasn't like, boom, and he was powerful. He became powerful over time. But was it his power that caused God to stop helping him? No. Because God helps anyone who seeks him, whether they're powerful or weak or somewhere in between. Anybody who seeks him, he will continue to bless and guide them. So if none of these are the reasons why that things changed, what is the reason? Uzziah. That's the reason. Uzziah. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. After he became powerful, the king became prideful. That's why we read what we read in verse 15, that the Lord, he sought the Lord, he celebrated the Lord, he received help from the Lord until pride entered his heart. And that pride robbed him of God's blessings. At some point, he went from celebrating God and celebrating Uzziah. But he wasn't celebrating the Lord one day and then the next. He wasn't. The shift didn't happen in a moment. It wasn't this, he tripped and fell flat on his face. It was a very slow descent. Because people just don't turn that quick. Here's the way I see it. Uzziah is worshiping the Lord. He's celebrating the Lord. And then one day as he gets more powerful and more comfortable with who he is, he lets the things he did before, things he had always done to seek the Lord, begin to fall by the wayside. He began to let his prayers go. He didn't spend as much time with the Lord. When a decision to be made, he might or he might not, you know, go to the Lord for guidance. He didn't spend the time that he used to spend meditating on God's word. He maybe began to ignore his commands from time to time. In other words, he neglected his relationship with the Lord. So a distance formed between them. God's influence began to fade. And as God's influence began to fade, guess whose influence began to increase? The people's influence. Satan's influence as well. You see, Uzziah had a very good reputation. I mean, we read that here, that he was a good king. He led his people. He had a good reputation. He was respected among the nations and admired by his people. And with all that kind of success, you know he had people around him going, man, you're great. You are such a good guy. You've done so much for the nation. Man, you're wonderful. You know, they were there flattering him, giving him credit for what the Lord had done. And as we said at first, he was like, wait, no, this isn't me. This is God. God's the one that's doing it. But at some point, he began to believe his own press. Chuck Swindoll imagines it this way. He said, he began to think, my, I'm really something. Those Egyptians are right. There's never been a king like me. Why? Look at those innovations. There's never been anyone that's come up with something like that. Look at the prosperity I have brought to the kingdom. These citizens haven't had it this good since Solomon. Am I great or what? That is the way he imagined it. And you know Satan was right there, right? You know he's right there whispering in his ear, says, that's right. You know, I know, everybody knows who's responsible for all that's happened, and it isn't God. You don't need him. You did all the work. You took all the risk. You should reap the reward. You should get the credit. You should get the praise. After all, you deserve it. Because he wasn't strengthening himself in the Lord, when someone then said, hey, you're marvelous. You've done great things in the kingdom. He didn't correct them. When they place credit for the work that God has done squarely in his lap, he accepts it. He slowly began to look at himself in the mirror and go, you get it? You got it. You're good. He looks in the mirror and he says, I've outgrown the Lord. I don't need him. I built this nation. I'm its protector. I'm the savior of these people. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30? This is what he said. He says, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my power and for the glory of my majesty? This is where Uzziah is in the second half of this chapter. He's saying, is this not Judah? Have I not built this nation by my mighty power and for my glory and for my majesty? That's where he is. And it all becomes about him. And he stops celebrating the Lord and starts celebrating Uzziah. The more he celebrates himself, the further away from the Lord he gets. The further away from the Lord he gets, the fewer blessings he receives. Not because God didn't want to continue to bless him. You've got to understand that, right? God always wants to bless you. He always wants to give you his grace. He always wants to lead you. But Uzziah was not seeking the Lord any longer. He was not asking, Lord, which road should I go down? Which road leads to blessings? He thought he had it covered. So he stopped asking. And he didn't pay attention to the Lord at all. And because he didn't, he went down the wrong road. Uzziah was arrogant. See, he traded all the magnificent gifts God had in store for him for the little trinkets that he could gain on his own. Now, I tried to think of a really good illustration here. What kind of magnificent, wonderful thing could I compare it to what we can get on our own, what God gives us versus what we can get on our own? I really couldn't come up with much. But I thought, you know what? What about $1 million? If I had $1 million piled up over here and I had one of those little trinket toys that comes out of one of those 20, well, they're not 25 cents anymore, but whatever they are, you know, they come out of one of those machines, maybe a stick-on tattoo. That's what you can get, or you can have $1 million. Which one would you want to choose? You'd want that $1 million. That's what God wants to give you, but so often we settle for that little stick-on tattoo because we go our own way and we forget to celebrate God instead of going our own way. So he traded that. The king traveled down that road, that prideful road. He went so far down that road that he convinced himself he even had authority over the Lord's temple. Once again, Chuck Swindoll is helpful in this. In his description, he says, his attitude was, I don't need priests to worship the Lord. I'm in charge here. Who are they to say I can't do something if I want to do it? And he would have said the same thing. Who is God to say? Now, he probably never would admit that. He never would have said that, but that's what he was thinking in his heart. So one day he goes to the temple. He grabs a censer. You may have seen pictures of them. The ones that I've seen, kind of a bar in the middle, and you got two little pots on either end that the incense sit in. They were used to burn incense before the Lord. He grabs one of those. He pushes past the priest and enters the holy place. Nobody but priests were supposed to go in there. He knew that. He knew the rules. He knew what God had said, but he didn't care. He was king. He was sovereign. And in his pride, he openly defied the one true God. basically, he was shaking his fist in God's face, and he was trying to raise himself up above the ruler of the universe. He wasn't. Now, so when Uzziah did that and he ran in, was he there to celebrate the Lord? No. He was there to celebrate Uzziah and to prove that he was above even God's commands. We shouldn't be surprised, though. It should never surprise us at what happened here, because that's where pride always leads us. It always leads us to the desire of being free from the Lord. That's what pride does. It leads us to usurp his authority, to take over his throne. What did Satan say over in, he said, I will make myself like the Most High. That's over in Isaiah 14, 14. And he set himself against the Lord himself. And human beings have been doing that from the very beginning. Pride caused the fall of all mankind, because Adam and Eve had to be like who? God. Oh, you eat the fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Uzziah was driven by that very same desire as he entered that holy place. But the priest didn't allow him to go in unopposed. Look at verses 17 and 18. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests. I didn't realize it was that big. But anyway, 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, it's not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary. You have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord. Pretty gutsy move. Because the king had life and death in his hands. He could have had them all killed. But yet they go in anyway. They confront him. See, God will not allow us to go down that road of pride without calling us on it. He will not allow us to take glory that is rightfully his upon ourselves. But why is the question? A lot of people say, well, is he that insecure that he needs that praise, that he needs that glory, that he needs us to realize that he did it and say he did it and recognize that he did it? No, God is not insecure. Why does God want us to realize that he did it and we didn't? Because if we think we did it, we become prideful, just like Uzziah. And where does pride lead? Down the wrong road. He always going to take us, it's always going to take us into disaster. See, pride blinds us to the dangers that lie ahead. So God does his best to warn us and to turn us around, to get us to get back on that road of blessings. And these priests did that for Uzziah. They tell him to get out. He didn't belong there, even if he was king. And at this point, he has a chance to back away, to leave the holy place. God is giving Uzziah a way out. He's giving him an opportunity to repent and say, ooh, you're right, I shouldn't be here. But does he? Look at verse 19. Uzziah had the censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, and he became angry. And then he raged at the priests in the presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. He lets them have it. You know, the term, you know, if you've got a relative by this name, I mean no disrespect. You've heard of a Karen, right? Okay. I don't mean disrespect. If your name is Karen, I have nothing against you. That's just the term everybody uses. Where they just go off on people. That's what Uzziah was doing. He was going off on these priests. Ranting and raving, stomping, pacing, you know, kicking things, throwing things, whatever. Probably threatening them with their lives. I mean, he really was just raking him over the coals. And then when God couldn't get his attention through the priest and their warning, he takes action. Leprosy breaks out on his forehead. Did that get his attention? He couldn't get out of there fast enough. I love the way it states it here. He himself was eager to leave. No kidding. I mean, I imagine he was pretty much first one out the door. But he left. But because he was celebrating himself rather than celebrating the Lord, he wasn't recognizing the Lord and all that he was doing, because he stopped seeking the Lord. and he started seeking those desires, he remained a leper all his life, the rest of his life, having to live in isolation. He couldn't govern his people. His son had to take over. See, he sought to extend his power. He sought to celebrate himself and take credit for what the Lord was doing. And he thought he was going to gain everything, and he ended up losing everything. When he was struggling, though, think about this. When he first started, he sought the Lord. When he was struggling, when he was unprepared, when he was unsure about his abilities, he celebrated the Lord. He looked to him for guidance. He stayed close to him. But once he became established as a monarch, he had a few years on the throne, he began to turn his gaze away from the Lord, the one who made him successful, the one who had given him everything. And as a result, the blessings stopped flowing. The Lord stopped moving. And he walked headlong into disaster. See, what happened to Uzziah doesn't just happen to kings. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to you and me. It can happen to our church. A lot of people say, well, that would never be me because I'm not prosperous. I'm not powerful. God hadn't done that for me. Yes, he has. If you didn't know it, you are prosperous. Do you have food in your refrigerator? Do you have clothes to wear, a place to live? My thing is, you live in America? Oh, my gosh, what a blessing that is. You know, I watch the news and think, oh, I'm so glad I don't live there. I know they probably go, well, I'm so glad I don't live there. Because you know what we see from other places? All we see is the bad. That's all they report on. So you know those places, some of those places are bad, but it ain't all bad. It's just like here. So we got bad, but it ain't all bad. But God has blessed us. We are prosperous whether we realize it or not. You know? And God has done that for us individually and as a church. He has helped us greatly. So we are at the same point Uzziah was. He became prosperous and powerful. And that's when pride came in to tempt him. And that's going to be the temptation for us as well. We're going to be tempted to think, look at me. Look at me. Look at what I've accomplished. How great am I? As God moves and changes lives and he draws us nearer to him through the Spirit, he rains down on us, we're going to be tempted to look at ourselves as a church and say, look at what we've done. Look at how many people we've reached. Look at the programs we have established. Look at all that we have done. It's easy for churches to fall into that. To think it's all because of our effort, our hard work, and our skill. To think that everything that's happened is because of us. We're going to be tempted to believe that this ministry is ours. That we're responsible for what happens, and we forget the Lord is the one who's brought us thus far. And if we forget that, guess what we stop doing? We stop celebrating. We stop celebrating the Lord. We start celebrating ourselves. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that as we gather here at this church, we gather in Bible study, we gather in the worship service, that we will leave here not talking about, man, that was a good sermon. I know that happens a few times between, but even, well, that's a good sermon. Or, boy, the music was so awesome today. I love the special that Val sang today. Val did such a good job. Or, boy, that prayer so-and-so prayed, that just really touched my heart. I pray we don't leave here talking about those things. What I pray is that we leave here talking about how the Lord touched us through those things. That's what we need to be doing. And that will cause us to seek the Lord even more earnestly throughout the week. As the celebration starts here and we move out into our lives, it continues through the week. And then we look forward to coming back together and celebrating some more. And then that builds on itself. My prayer is that we do as Zechariah did at first, before the until, and seek the Lord. And when he moves, to point at him and say, it's all him. Isn't God good? So here's the question once again. Who are you celebrating? As you think about all that's happening, all the Lord's given you, all the blessings that you have, the gifts that you've received, the faith that you have, the spiritual growth, all the material blessings that we have, as you consider how God's hand has moved in your life and how God is moving in this church, who are you acknowledging as the reason it has all come about? Now, I'm not asking, who do you give lip service to? Because when Uzziah walked into that temple, even before he did, he would have said, yes, the Lord has done this. But that was not what was in his heart. He would have verbally given, yes, the Lord is the one that gave us this. Yes, the Lord is good. But in his heart, he's thinking, yeah, I'm the one that did that. It's all about me. It's really not him. It's me. So we need to be real careful, not just give lip service to the Lord. So who do you celebrate? In your worship, in your life, in your work, in your play. See, celebrating the Lord leads to blessings. Because celebrating the Lord keeps our eyes on him. And we're able to look to him and follow him. Celebrating self leads to a downfall. So here's the thing. Stay close to the Lord. That was Uzziah's first mistake. He began to let his relationship with the Lord slide. Stay sensitive to him. Seek him. Acknowledge his sovereignty. And celebrate him as you follow his leading. And if you do that, here's something you will never hear. He or she was helped greatly until. If you seek him and follow him, you'll never hear those words spoken over your life. So who are you celebrating? Let's be like Uzziah when he was young, not Uzziah when he was older. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is difficult. Because, Father, when we're prideful, we don't see the pride. We're deceived. We're blind. And so, Father, and there's not a one of us here that don't like a pat on the back. They don't like to hear, you did a good job. But don't ever let us think that all the things that happen and all of the good things that are in our lives are because we're so great. Or we're so good, or we're so holy, or we're so faithful. Yes, our faithfulness leads us into those blessings. But Lord, that faithfulness didn't earn those blessings. We didn't get those blessings because we are so spiritual. And we're so great in the kingdom of God that you give us all these blessings. Well, they give us these blessings because we are wretched, poor, and naked. We come to you with nothing. And no matter what we do, our righteousness is still filthy rags because it's our righteousness and not yours. Your righteousness covers us. Your righteousness allows us to follow you. Your righteousness is the cause of everything and every blessing that we receive. Everything that is good in our lives is from you. Yes, we have a part to play, Lord. Help us to play that part. Help us to seek and to be faithful and to follow. But even when we do, help us to realize it's still all you. Help us to point to you and celebrate you. Don't let us rise up in pride. Because, Lord, that's where it takes us every time. It takes us away from you. And we don't want to be away from you. We want to be right next to you. So, Father, this morning, if I've got pride in my heart, if I've got my eyes on me in any area, in any way, Father, show me. Show me. Speak to me as you spoke to Uzziah and say, this is not good. You need to turn around and you need to go back the other way. Show me that so that I can do that, so I can get back on the road to your blessings and not just settle for those trinkets. Father, thank you that you are so awesome and patient with us. Father, that if we rise up in pride, that is not the end. but that you pointed out, and you call us back, and we can repent and be restored and be right back where we were before, and those blessings continue to flow. So, Lord, break our pride this morning. Break my pride this morning. Just speak to us as we sing here in a little bit, and help us to respond in obedience. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.